first to see you in the places we would go, like your face is painted on the walls. I've been trying to forget all the moments that we spent, 'cause now I do it on my own. Oh, you.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to another show here at WWDB 860 AM Talk Radio. My name is Reverend Lee West, and I'm your host for A Heart for the People Christian Ministry. We want to thank you for joining us on this beautiful Sunday morning. I hope that your weekend has gone well. We have nothing but sunny days. We want to take this opportunity to thank Mr. David Therizelvam, VRLC, Victim Recovery Law Center. He's located at 121 South Broad Street, 18th floor, Philadelphia, PA. He also has an office at 18 Campus Boulevard, Suite 100, Newtown Square, Pennsylvania. His phone number is 484-919-0794. Also, you can reach him at 215-546-1433. His website is victimrecoverylaw.com. You can also email him at david@victimrecoverylaw.com. If you're looking for a good lawyer because of somebody has hurt one of your loved ones, whether it be murder or what have you, he is a lawyer that will stand by your side. David P. Therizelvam. He is the founder of this law center. He has two other partners, and they do an excellent job. So we want to thank him for sponsoring our show. Today, we have a very special show today. I have a good friend of mine, a brother, someone who has lost his daughter. She was murdered, he said, a year and 2 months ago. His name is Jason Hutchinson, and his daughter is Aubrey Hutchinson. And we brought him on today because I feel like fathers need to be heard. Whenever there's a situation like this where a child is murdered or hurt or whatever, the first thing the news and people do is they run to the mom. And where's the dad? He's left sitting out in the backyard and, you know, doing whatever. But today I wanted to bring Jason on and give him an opportunity to tell us about his daughter. I, for one, will tell you that this man has a love for his daughter. And it's a never-ending love, and that's what I appreciate about him. She is the utmost importance to him. It's not easy to talk about, but Jason, first and foremost, I want to thank you for joining us and being here today. I just wanted you to give you an opportunity to be able to share with us about Aubrey and some of the things that you're dealing with, and at any time, if you need a break, just let me know, and we can go to a commercial.
All right.
Take your time.
Man. Every time I get a chance or every time I feel comfortable talking about it, I try to say it in details where people can get as close as possible to imagining or understanding how I feel. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, we all know every father's situation is different, but for me specifically, I waited 32 years to have her. Mm-hmm. She was my first child, my only child. She was two.
Take your time.
I never came from no family, so I never knew what love was like until she came.
So what tell us about Aubrey. Tell us a little bit about her.
Her name was Aubrey Rose Hutchinson. Her birthday was May 14th, 4 days after my birthday. And my birthday was May 10th. Mm-hmm. Her birthday was May 14th. She was just like me because she was around me the most. She lived with me and her mom and everything, but I was the first person that she woke up to because her mom worked in the early mornings. She was sassy, but really sweet.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, every time I would say, "Tell me you love me," she say no a certain way. I'm not going to say mm-hmm. it online. Mm-hmm. On air, but she would say no, but she knew how to show me she loved me. It was just a funny thing that she would do, was just say no that way. I guess she was just learning how to say no. She really was just learning how to say no. But she was adventurous. She liked to be outside. She liked to go on the swings, because we for her first two, well, for the entire time she was born, we lived in apartments. So she didn't really have like a outside area to play in.
Mm-hmm.
So every chance she got to go outside of the apartment, somewhere that just looked like fun, she never wanted to leave.
Mm-hmm.
She had an attitude like me. She had a really sophisticated palate. Like she liked things that normal babies wouldn't like,
mm-hmm.
like whitefish salad from Acme, mm-hmm. or
that is unusual.
Yeah, like tuna fish, or she ate anything.
Mm-hmm.
She ate anything. She wasn't picky. She was great, man. She was great. She was the only person who ever loved me.
Okay.
She was the only person who ever loved me.
If it's in knowing how she felt about you, and I obviously see how you felt about her, if it's not too hard, what happened? Take your time.
I mean, somebody, we gave it to her baby. I took her to her babysitters, which was her godmom,
mm-hmm.
her husband. And they were her mother and my girlfriend's best friend. The godmom was her mom's best friend. So basically they gave her fentanyl, xylazine, and cocaine orally, and because she was fussing, supposedly, you know. And they let her die on their bathroom floor for 2 hours before calling 911, and they both tried to leave to find Narcan just to save themselves. And the godmom's family was there in the house. So I just feel like it was everybody conspired together to just think for themselves, be selfish and get themselves out of trouble. And they let her die on the bathroom floor, my beautiful little healthy 2-year-old daughter.
So there was more than two people in the house?
Yep.
Wow. Wow. And at this point in time, and first of all, let me say this on the air, that I am truly sorry for your loss. As you all know, my situation in losing a daughter, and it doesn't matter the age, it's hard all the way around. And, you know, one of the reasons why I'm glad that you decided to come on is I personally want people to know that men hurt as well, you know. We cry, we have feelings just like anybody else. So I'm truly sorry for your loss, man. And you know, if there's anything that we can do, please let us know. Has there been any arrests made?
Yeah.
Okay. So I know from what you have told me that the court proceeding has started.
Yeah.
How's that going so far?
It's moving slow.
Very slow.
It's moving slow. He fired his first attorney.
Mm-hmm.
And then the court appointed him another, and they fired him.
Mm-hmm.
The court fired him, and they just keep on pushing it back as if they don't already have, they already took the charges to a grand jury to create the specific charges,
mm-hmm.
which means they already have evidence determining that he committed a crime. and they're still, you know, I know that the system has they you're proven, you're innocent until proven guilty, and you have rights until, well, you have rights, but I mean, they should. I do feel like they should speed things up because it was a baby. Mm-hmm. I just know that nothing's really going to change. The courts don't really care about those moral perspectives, if that makes any sense. They don't care about that. They just care about the concrete law and the Constitution.
Do you feel that they, I know sometimes when we interview mothers and families, they feel like the courts, as you just said as well, it's all about a piece of paper.
Yeah.
It's not about the fact that this was a living human being. This is my daughter. As you and I talked before, and I said that, you know, I actually confronted the DA, and I told him, I said, listen, my daughter is not a docket number. My daughter is not a file. She's a human being. And I need you to respect that fact. And I know that right now, Jason, you are really going through, and it's hard, you know, and I just don't think people understand the feelings and the issues that we go through after losing a child, and that our feelings are different. You know, my daughter was murdered in 2016. My father passed away in 2019. It's a totally different feeling. You know, the grief is not the same as losing a parent or losing your child. At what point are you at now as far as, well, let me ask you this first of all. Do you feel like the police, investigators, detectives, whomever, do you feel like they have reached out to you and you know, at least kept you informed as to what's going on?
No, not as much as they should have, I guess, but that's probably only because we show up. We showed up to everything and made ourselves informed and asked all the questions when they were in front of our face. Mm-hmm. But I know one thing, the victim's advocate does nothing at all, nothing. She's a female. Mm-hmm. That just boggles my mind how you could be a human being. And I don't know if it's because they're accustomed to seeing those things because it happened in Camden County. And if everybody who's listening is from the tri-state area, we know what Camden County and what Camden, New Jersey is like. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if it's because they trial things and see things that's horrible every day that they just become desensitized. But I don't see any human emotional bone in their body sometimes. Like, she doesn't call us to give us the information if one of us do miss a court date, because it's not every time that me and my girlfriend can both go, one or the other. And they just delay everything. It's like, I don't know, man. I don't know if it's like they have a heavy caseload and we just slip through the cracks, or they just aren't heavily supervised and just can become lackadaisical with their job. I don't know what it is, but no, I don't feel like we are getting informed the way we should. But again, like I said, that's because we inform ourselves.
So is this advocate from Camden or advocate from Philly?
Camden,
okay. If you don't mind me asking, did this take place in Philly or Camden?
It was in Camden. Cherry Hill, New Jersey.
Okay. And I know, I think we talked, you said you have another court date in October. And I let you know on the air, and I'll let you know now that at that time, you let me know the date. If I'm free, I will be there with you just to support you, you know, and let you know that you're not alone. You're not by yourself. I know that this is not an easy task to go through by yourself, because I've been there. At this point in time now, what is your, as a father, because I know there's other fathers that are listening, what is your mindset? What are you feeling?
What am I feeling, man?
I know they're all over the place.
Yeah, that's exactly it. I feel like I lost the only chance that I had to love. Mm-hmm. She was the only person that smiled when I walked into a room or asked where I was. Mm-hmm. Every time I asked her for a hug or a kiss, it was never a problem. Mm-hmm. Where I'm at, Nothing makes me happy. I'm angry. I've always been angry because of my background, but I'm angry now. I feel like my whole future was ripped away from me because I was actually going to be a real father. Mm-hmm. I feel like my love and my only chance to a meaningful relationship is gone. I feel like, how could this have happened to me? How could I have received that phone call saying that my daughter was dead? Like, I don't even want to be here no more. I didn't travel. If this wouldn't have happened to me, traveling to four countries in 1 year would have been something to feel good about. Mm-hmm. But it didn't make me feel good. It wasn't even a temporary Band-Aid because every day I cry. Every time I see a father who has a daughter the same age as me, I mean, as my daughter, I cry in public. Man, I had to bury my 2-year-old little girl who I woke up to and woke up. I was just telling my girlfriend last night how I miss intentionally taking her out the crib just so she can lay in the bed with me. Mm-hmm. Just so she can be close to me. Like, I actually was there for my child. And where I come from, fathers aren't around. Like, I didn't have my father. So I loved my daughter, man. Like, I'm losing my mind every day. My relationship is failing.
I think this is a pure example of what people go through, and I'm specifically speaking about fathers today, but this is what people go through in losing a child to senseless violence out here. And the thing is, his situation wasn't even out here. This was in a home of somebody that they knew. And I think that's what makes it even harder to deal with. And I want people to understand that what he is going through, and this message is for those who may be listening who say, you know what, I want to do this to that person, I want to do that to that. You're not only hurting and or killing that person, but you are destroying a family. You are destroying other lives. You know, my situation is I have a younger son. He's 18 years old. His sister was murdered. And right now, he wants to commit suicide. He doesn't want to be here. He's going through the emotional roller coaster. He's going through the trauma. And then it goes to mental illness. You know, he didn't complete school. He should have been in the 12th grade last year. He didn't go because he misses his sister. He doesn't want to be bothered. He doesn't want to do anything. So what I'm saying is this. My brother here, Jason, is hurting. He is hurting.
I'm more than hurting.
And you hear it in his voice. You hear him talking about it. This little girl was his heart. This was his baby, you know. And when something like this happens, you know, and we were talking earlier today, and I said, I don't understand how people can do these things. I have a hard time killing whatever, you know, and to take somebody's life, you know, and I think about my situation. We're going to give Jason just a little bit of a break, just kind of, you know, let him get himself together. And I understand how he's feeling. He's hurting deeply to the point of where, you know, you don't know what direction you're going to go in. You know, you just live day by day, you know, and that's all you can do. But to go through these emotions and these feelings and not knowing which way to turn or which way to go is not easy. And I want those to understand that who are listening to understand that when somebody is going through, please don't walk up and tell them, oh, everything's going to be okay. Don't walk up and say, oh, you know, a couple months, you'll be fine. Because that's not the case. We have joined a family that we didn't even ask for. We have joined a situation that we have never been a part of. Our lives will never be the same. You know, and when somebody's going through like this, give them their space. You know, let them be free to express their anger. Let them be free to express their hurt or their pain. Because this is how we get through. You know, everything, you know, I'm not saying counseling is bad. Counseling may not be for everybody. And I'm not saying that everybody should go or should not go. But do what's best for you. And people around you and who love you need to understand and give you that space. They need to say, you know what, I love you enough to say, do what you have to do to get to where you have to get to. And I know if he doesn't mind, you know, we were talking earlier and he said he wants to travel. But then he just said, too, that, you know, even that didn't cover up anything, you know, or change anything. What people need to understand is you can sit here and go to counseling, but when I get back to my house and open my front door, my daughter is still not there. And all those feelings come rushing right back. Just for a brief moment while I'm in your office, I'm talking, and hey, everything's good. But now all of a sudden, I get home, and I'm right back where I started from. So, Jason, we have a few more minutes left, and I just want to, this is your opportunity to say what's on your heart.
I mean, I ain't never been on air, so if it's anybody that's in my situation that's listening, I don't know what to really tell y'all, man. Just, I don't know. This is really bad. Man, this is really bad. We lost our child. I lost my 2-year-old princess, my one and only child. We don't even know if the stress that I'm experiencing will allow me to have another child. We don't know if that was going to be my only child. We don't even know if I'm going to live the rest of my life never finding that or having that love again. Like, it's so much more that makes losing my daughter even worse. It's what I had to live with before all that. I don't have a family to lean on. I don't have any of that. She was the answer to all my problems. I never had a mom. My dad was on drugs. I grew up in foster care. No meaningful relationships that I really trusted and believed in. And then I had a daughter. Like, she was going to love me. I was going to expose her to such a great life. All the friends that I met in the world, all the places that I can go and stay, she could have come with me. And now that's all over. The first dress I bore her was the dress we had to bury her in. Like, I had to get the phone call, which was a lie, to be rushed to the crime scene, man, to follow that 12-minute rot ambulance to the hospital, to watch 12 doctors announce the time of death, and then to hold my dead daughter, yo. Like, there's no more traumatizing pain than that. Outside of all the other stuff I saw living in the inner cities of Philadelphia, like, it just doesn't get no more traumatizing than that. That pain and that trauma is going to forever be with me. Like, it changed me. It made my, it intensified my anger that I already had from my upbringing. My heart is broke. I may never love nobody else again. It's altered my life. It's altered my moods. It's altered my mental health. It's just changed the whole entire dynamics of my life. And awful, oh, man, yo. We ain't got enough time, man. If I had enough time.
I understand, man. And, you know, this just goes to show, and what he's saying, life will never be the same. Every day that he lives is a challenge. It's different because his daughter is not here. So The only thing that I can say to you on the air, recognize the pain. Recognize the hurt. His emotions are a roller coaster, a never-ending roller coaster. So I want you to understand that men grieve, men hurt. We have feelings. There's not a day that goes by that I don't think about my daughter. And we have to understand also that every time we turn on the news or we hear so-and-so got shot, X amount of people got killed today, blah, 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 it brings back those memories all over again. So we live this every single day. There has not been a break. There is no break. So I need you to understand that when somebody is going through, be there for them. Sometimes just listen. We don't have all the answers, but they need to be heard. Listen to them. Open up your heart. Open up your ears. Close your mouth and allow people to just express how they feel. Sometimes that's the key. But Jason, I want to thank you. It takes a lot of courage. It takes a lot of whatever you want to call it to be on the air today. So I thank you for being here. Ladies and gentlemen, we want to thank Jason Hutchinson for being here talking about his beautiful daughter, Aubrey. We ask you to join us next week, same time, same station. This is Reverend Lee West, your host of A Heart for the People Christian Ministry. I love you, but just remember God loves you best. Here at WWDB 860 AM Talk Radio. God bless.
I used to see you in the places we would go, like your face is painted on the walls. I've been trying to forget all the moments that we spent, 'cause now I do it on my own. Oh, you and I were like this summer, but now it's winter here on my own. If I would've known that you wouldn't be here.